Tonight we are looking at question 74. How are you admonished and assured in baptism that you are a partaker of the only sacrifice of Christ? And what's helpful here in, if you have the hardbound copy, is that this catechism has been closely following the Heidelberg Catechism, which it is patterned after. But when we got to question 67, actually question 68 in this catechism, it took somewhat of a detour from the Heidelberg Catechism, and question 68 through 73 are not in the Heidelberg. So when we come to 74, we're back on in line with the Heidelberg Catechism, following the questions of that catechism, although that catechism is question 69. Same question, just a little difference in the sequence of it. But look at this again with me. How are you admonished and assured in baptism that you are a partaker of the only sacrifice of Christ? How are you admonished? And when you were baptized, was there any admonishment? Was there any assurance that you are a partaker? And if you look at the answer, it says, because Christ commanded the outward washing of water, joined this promise to it, that I am no less assuredly washed by his blood and spirit from all uncleanness of my soul, that is, from all my sins, and I am washed outwardly from the filthiness of the body with water. I think a more updated version would be, I am just assuredly washed from sins in my soul, as when I take a bath, I am washed with water, washing the dirt from my body. So we are kind of winding down a long extended section in our catechism on baptism. And this dead horse has been beaten pretty much to a pulp. And so don't want to and won't be spending a whole lot of time as we look ahead. We can see that it takes us through question 78 before we're finally done with baptism. So by the time we reach there, if you're not a believer's Baptist, well then, if what Hercules Collins has said doesn't persuade you, I don't know what will. But we want to just cover a couple of highlights tonight, looking at this question and considering the answer. First of all, the answer mentions a command. Lord Jesus Christ gave the command to baptize. And that command is found in Matthew 28 and verses 18 through 20. And so we can look at that text tonight and see that command. Matthew, turn with me, Matthew 28, part of our Lord's Great Commission. Remember a real helpful three-point outline of this text was a great claim in verse 18, a great commission in verse 19 and 20a, and then a great comfort in verse 20b. But the great claim in verse 18 is where Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So the Lord has acknowledged and announced that he has all authority. He is the King. He is the King of Kings. He is the risen Lord, and the Father has entrusted to him, awarded him the kingdom of which Christ reigns over all. And he must reign until he's put all enemies under his feet. And this is a command. It's not a request. It's not a suggestion. It is a command to his apostles here, but through them to the church. The church is to make disciples, and with that is to baptize them. And so those who are disciples, who have become disciples, are responsible then in the first step of obedience to be baptized, to submit themselves to the next command of the Lord and to be baptized. So the answer says, because Christ commanded. And he commanded the outward washing of water. And the text that is listed here is Matthew 28 and verse 19, and also Acts 2, 38, Peter's Pentecost sermon, where the people in Jerusalem, cut to the heart, said, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter's famous answer is, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so, this command has a promise joined to it. And in our Great Commission text, that promise is, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." And depending on what translation you use, some King James versions, I think, might say, "And surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Or, "Lo, I am with you always." And so there's an emphasis there that we must be careful not to miss. The ESV says, "Behold, I'm with you always." And but what about, there's two things here, a couple things that I just want to call your attention to, and we won't spend much time tonight on this text before we go to prayer. But the idea of washing of water and the communication there, the correspondence is the washing of our sin, to wash away our sins, to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, to be made whole, the washing of water. And as the body is washed with the water, our answer is trying to say, I'm no less assured that I'm washed, that my soul is washed by the blood of Christ. And so that idea of washing may not be something that we're all that used to using. It is cleansing. It is a judicial removal of sin before a just and holy God. It's the taking away of our sin. And and the assurance that goes with that is that just as certain as washing the body with regular water would wash away dirt, the blood of Christ washes away our sin. We do sing that hymn, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." So those who have come to believe the gospel and to have faith that Jesus died for their sins and that their sins have been washed in the blood of Christ, and they are forgiven, and they are cleansed, what should they do? They should be baptized. They are to repent and be baptized. That is the command. There's a lot of other things that they may and will do But before they get very far down that road, they should do this first thing, and that is to be baptized. And baptism isn't something that needs to be repeated if we have done it once, even though we may fall into sin, and we do again and again. And people have wondered if they should be baptized a second time. And the answer is no, because they their first baptism, if it was a valid profession of faith at the time, that professed the work of Christ, the shedding of his blood, the cleansing, and even if they fell into sin and came back around, it's not necessary to be baptized again. We had Baruch here this morning, and as you know, he was living in Israel for many years, and the Jordan River is a very big attraction for Christians who go to the Holy Land. And what do you think they'd like to do when they get to see the Jordan River? They get baptized. And so they can say, I was baptized in the Jordan River. Well, that might seem to be very sentimental. But if they've already been baptized, well, then they need not, really should not be baptized again. They might as well just go and swim in the river or just duck down seven times like the Syrian leper and call that a good day. So baptism is not what cleanses us from sin. It's the blood of Christ. But baptism is that outward profession of an inward faith. It is that it makes a message, it makes a statement, it makes a proclamation. I am washed in the blood of Christ. I am forgiven. I am justified by faith alone and Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. And this next step of obedience is now baptism, and to demonstrate my faith, proclaim it, my commitment. I will obey him in this important act. And it is a means of grace for the person who was baptized. You may not feel much different, maybe a little wetter or colder when you come out of the baptismal, but it's a very important ordinance. And God communicates grace to the heart and soul of those who receive it. And also those who are there to support and observe it. It is an encouragement and strengthening of their own faith as we can look back and reflect perhaps on our own baptism. And so how many of you have been baptized based on your profession of faith? Okay, yeah, very, very good. And the rest of you, I want to talk to you after the service. But thank the Lord for that. And we should be praying, even tonight, that the Lord would raise up more among us that will profess their faith in baptism. We very likely will be having another baptism service here before long. Have a small handful who have already been, who have approached me to talk about it and are interested. So it is a celebration that just shows that Christ is still saving his people, and that the blood that he shed 2,000 years ago on that cross is still effectual today, and he is applying it by his Spirit in the hearts of all God's elect. As we saw in Sunday school, not one of them will be overlooked or lost or forgotten. But everyone for whom Christ has shed his blood, he will certainly and effectually apply it to them for their effectual benefit and salvation. So hope that will be somewhat of encouragement to you as we consider how we are partakers of the benefits of the only sacrifice of Christ. It was a once-for-all sacrifice on the cross. Baptism should be a once-for-all ordinance of commitment and renewal in each person's life, and yet it is an ordinance that continues and will continue until the return of Christ. Much like the Lord's Supper, when we say, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so baptism is a proclamation that will continue until he comes. So I pray that is something that we will earnestly point our children to, and pray to the Lord of glory that he will one day be pleased to bring them through the baptismal waters of profession, recognizing that prior shedding of Christ's blood and how they have become partakers of the benefits of that greater sacrifice. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for this important ordinance, how it is a command of Christ. It is a New Testament ordinance. It is something that those who have been born again, who have been renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, with that washing and regeneration of the Spirit, that they are to follow the Lord in obedience to this his command to be baptized. And we as a church are to follow it as well by baptizing those who have been converted, who are making legitimate professions of faith. We do pray, Lord, that here at Grace Covenant, in the days to come, we will see many more baptisms, and we will see many more who are bowing the knee to Christ and coming into the kingdom of God and rejoicing in their newfound faith and salvation. Lord, we thank you that you have done a great work in the hearts of those who raised their hands and who have been baptized. And we pray, Lord, that we will never forget that time and our commitment to you in those early days of our Christian walk. Now give us further grace as we pray as a church family to honor you and to continue to press on in the faith till the very end. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.